This podcast is made possible by Optimizely. Optimizely is the leader in progressive delivery and experimentation. Our platform includes feature flagging, progressive rollouts, and A/B testing. We help your teams release software quickly, then test and learn in production before rolling out to all users. Using the Optimizely full stack platform puts product managers at the center of the product development process, allowing you to de-risk big ideas, make bold bets, and build better products.
Welcome to the Product Podcast, brought to you by Product School, the podcast where you get fresh insight from leaders at top tech companies and startups. Remember, you can learn product management in person at our 15 campuses worldwide or study with us online. Visit productschool.com to learn more about our courses. You can also hang out with the leaders from these podcasts at our hundreds of annual events and catch us at ProductCon, the world's largest PM conference that takes place every year across the United States and in London.
Why am I here and why do I think I'm able to speak about this topic? So about me, I've worked in pretty large companies, one global, so MasterCard, Wells Fargo, Mayo Clinic. I've also worked in mid-sized companies like Bank United and TechSoup, which is also a nonprofit. I've also worked for a fintech startup. So I could safely say I have a spectrum of experience in all different company sizes, people, culture, politics, product sizes, user sizes. So that means I've come across many, many people, many, many stakeholders, had to negotiate my way along and getting to build the right product. So I can safely say that's one of the key components. I've also, throughout my product career, built 11 products, two of which failed. I don't want to say that's a bad thing. I think people sometimes look at failed products as a bad thing, but I'm very proud to say that I have two failed products on my resume, and I will happily talk about that in any of my interviews and jobs and networking, because to be working in a failed product is rare. And I think you go through a lot of people, a lot of challenges before you call out your product as failed. And that experience is extremely great. So I think that also builds into my negotiation experience. And then the last one, I don't usually call this out. I hardly speak about my degree, but I call for this specific topic. I feel like it's important because it has shaped the way I think and interact and the way I, you know, observe people. I feel negotiation is one of those topics where you observe people a lot. You read cues, body language, whatnot. So I'm calling that out, but not the biggest thing I would call out though. Product manager, it's one hell of a job. At least that's the way I look at it. There's way too many hats that a product manager holds. Starting with being the gardener who showers the product with love, the ER doctor who's fixing a production issue at 1 a.m. at night, the architect who's trying to solution and design. We shouldn't be doing that, but we often do as product managers. The psychologist who's trying to understand users and build the right products. You magically want to know everything about your user. So there's so many hats that this product manager holds, but honestly, there's this one little thing that nobody talks about, which is being a negotiator. I have never heard about anyone in my product management career call out the word negotiator, but it's a very important skill, though. It's often called out as a skill. You have to have great negotiation skills to be able to succeed as a product manager, or for that matter, any jobs. So that's really what I wanted to call it. I would say, as a product manager, I'm spending half my day not focusing on my product, but focusing on negotiations, getting what I want. And whether you believe it or not, that half day of every product manager's life is negotiation. You might not realize it because it feels so subtle. Sometimes it's just inbuilt. You don't realize you're even doing it, but you're actually doing it. Probably just didn't tie the right words or terms and definitions to it. But if you're a product manager or any other role, I'm sure in marketing, you have a lot of negotiations going. So that's really what I want to talk about, negotiation. Do product managers really, really spend time negotiating all day, every day? Some of you might not, but I absolutely 100% do. And I want to call out some examples. So peak season is quickly approaching and new features are not going to be ready by then. How can I save my product? This is a classic problem. The business wants the product to be ready by X date. You don't have it ready. Your team is not ready to finish the work. What would you do? That's negotiation right there. But you starting to ask that question and figuring out what to do next starts a whole slew of product negotiation process. And some people solve that in a day. Some people take weeks. Some people take years. By the time, guess what? Your pieces are already gone, but you're still negotiating. And you negotiate every single week. If you're into peak seasons, every week you're preparing for your next sprint, trying to prepare your product. We presented our product demo to the CEO, gave us a bunch of feedback, and requested us to redevelop the entire product. How do I push back? So we can translate this to outside of demo to any of your roles. So if you're a marketing person, you probably prepared an ad. If you're anyone who's aspiring PM, you might be working on a product or role where you might be preparing Excel spreadsheet, anything that you're even reviewing with your manager and then getting feedback. Sometimes you might feel so strongly about the work you've done, and you feel like what I did is right. And how do I convince this other person that what I've done is right? How do I push back and tell them, hey, look, I've done my work. I've done this research. Here's why I'm proposing this, this X way. How do I do that process? That's negotiation. Maybe it might not work to your favor, obviously. You might still need to go back and redo the work. But the process of you getting there, process of you agreeing with this other person is negotiation right there. And that person might often be able to negotiate you, one, because of the position they're in, or maybe they're definitely making a better argument than we are. And the next one is, I want to hire a candidate, but he's got an offer that's 10K above what we're allocated for this role. I really want this person and meet this candidate. Can I increase the offer? Maybe, maybe not, but you're definitely going to talk to someone about it, definitely going to huddle up your idea with someone, and that process is also considered negotiation. How you do it, what you do is all part of negotiation, but the process of you doing it, the act of it, is considered negotiation. Legal requirements is hurting my product and user experience of my product. What do I do? This is a classic product management problem. Every PM, if you're a product manager or aspiring product manager, please take note, you will run into this indefinitely. Somebody's going to make your life hell, and that would be regulations and laws, and hell, you need like extraordinary negotiation skills to get through that process. But don't be afraid. It's definitely doable. And then I don't entirely buy into sales and marketing team's direction on how to position the product. Should I say something? this happens a lot in a company where you're selling products to clients, users, and your sales and marketing teams are aggressive and trying to meet their quota for the month or year. They might be preparing ads that doesn't align with your product vision or the features that you've built. and so you have to raise your opinion and correct them so that your product is not positioned wrongly to your users or clients. And how do you do that? You absolutely have to do that. You can't just keep quiet because your product is going to get hurt at the end of the day. And how do you get there? And then these are some complex, like these are day-to-day product management stuff. Let's talk more simple stuff. Like, you know, what should my team work on this week? That's what product managers help prioritize during sprint planning. Or go even more basic. Where should we really go for lunch? I often have this argument with my colleagues, like, should we walk 10 minutes this to the east or the west? Or do we go for Thai? Do we go for Indian? That's negotiation. You don't realize it, but you absolutely do. You put your opinion out there and somehow someone wins, which means that person negotiated the best. Negotiation goals. So it's really important for us to not just look at negotiation as an action, but to also understand, what do you really want out of your negotiation? It's important to like pause for day-to-day stuff, like should I go buy lunch? Yeah, no thinking required there. You just blur about what you want. But for some important decisions or, you know, relationships or clients or product, you want to pause and kind of reflect on what exactly are my goals here? Why am I arguing with this person? Or why am I spending time, like an hour sitting in this meeting, trying to put my opinion forth? So you want to think, why am I going to this? What are my goals out of this conversation? The most important thing here is, one, getting a good result. Make sure you and this other party that you're having this negotiation or disagreement with come out with a good result. You want to be agreeable at the end of the day. You don't want to compromise and hurt yourself or your product or your teammates. You want to make sure both of you are happy and you have a valid reason why you came to that agreement. Efficiency. Some people just negotiate for a whole year. I don't know, like for some products, for some situation that makes sense, like if you're going into a legal conversation or you're working on a contract, I mean, by all means, yeah, take the whole year. But if it's as simple as like, should we put this feature out or not to our users, shouldn't take you months or years. That should be either a 1 half-an-hour meeting or at tops, like maybe a week or two because you need to do the research, but not more. You want to make sure there's efficiency. You want to call it like, is this really worth my time fighting? Pick the right battles. Like, don't pick on every battle. That's too time consuming, too much energy. Let's focus on what we want and make sure it's done very efficiently. If it's taking too much time, maybe it's not really worth fighting for. You want to be able to make that goal in your mind when you walk in. Relationship maintaining. This is a big one. At least in my category, this is huge. You want to make sure when you get into this agreement with this other person, you're not hurting your relationship with that person or people surrounding you, because there's no point in winning an argument if, you know, 10 days from later, after that, you need to go over this person and that person is now having grudges against you because you've now hurt your relationship with them or you've now hurt relationship with your team. You want to make sure you get to that negotiation goal by maintaining that relationship. Keep it smooth. Keep it harmonious. Fight for it, but always make sure you're fighting in good spirit. Don't use words that you would regret later. Don't do eye rolling or actions that would, you know, land you in a different position than you want to. So keep clear focus on maintaining relationship. Some places, maybe not. It really depends on the situation and what you're fighting for. But in most places, focus on relationship maintaining because you're going to be working for this person for the next couple of years of your life. You don't want to make it too difficult for yourself and for that person. And most importantly, your product. negotiation types. So there's three. So negotiation types, soft negotiation. There's three types, soft, hard, and principled. Now, obviously, if you go on Google, there's a ton more. There's a variety of articles on negotiations. But I picked these three because it resonates the most with me and my experience. Soft negotiation is when you're sitting in this other end of the table talking to this person and you're going soft on them. You're like, I hear you, but here's what my arguments are. And then suddenly that person comes back on you and you're like, okay, I don't want to spoil relationships between the two of us. And then you just agree to whatever they're asking because you are focusing more on the relationship and you're missing the point on our two other goals, which is good result and efficient. You end up focusing on the relationship too much that you miss out on the good result and efficiency. So now you've gone back and basically agreed on a solution or an item that you agreed on that you absolutely have no value towards. You absolutely don't believe in it, but you're just going with it. Now, I won't say don't do it ever. Don't be hard-headed and strong on your opinion all the time. Do use soft negotiation. It really depends on where you're using. I pick my battles. I absolutely do use soft negotiation. Sometimes, like if it's a simple feature, they're like asking, can I change this copy? I really don't want to spend 2 hours talking about why I hate this copy. If it's like a small little thing and it's not hurting conversion, if they've done the data, I'm like, okay, let's go ahead. Go ahead, do it. Let's try it out. Let's test it. I'm open to trial and error. So I'm like, if you feel so strongly about it, let's go ahead with it. I don't have a strong opinion. I want to maintain this relationship. I know you're the subject matter expert. I don't want to sound like this crazy person that wants exactly what I want. So I will give in. I absolutely do soft negotiation all the time in my marriage. I will happily any day give in to my husband because I like a happy marriage. But I also do hard negotiation on him when I think I need to. So pick the right problem, pick the right situation. Not every problem can be solved with one single negotiation type. So figure out, and this is not something you will know day one. Sometimes it just happens kind of naturally. You don't realize that you just gave in to person and that's called soft negotiation. Sometimes you really fight for something because you believe in it so much. And that could be hard negotiation or principled negotiation. So, you know, take a step back, kind of see what's happening in front of you and your problems, and then you can make a decision from there, like which ones you want to go with. So I wouldn't cross it out and say, no, it's not a good negotiation type, but pick your battles. Hard negotiation is when this person is like, hard it. I want what I want. It's my way or the highway. Like, I don't want to hear what you're saying. I need it and I want it. That's it. This one definitely hurts a good result, efficiency, and relationship maintaining because you're being so strong. You're going to have a hard time negotiating with this person. And sometimes you give in to this person or you yourself are doing that and you basically just scream and get what you want. But this hard negotiation is always very painful in relationships. You probably got what you want. You might look great in front of your leadership because you've got the right result for the product or what your leadership has been asking for. But guess what? Every one of your coworkers you're working with, you now have a bad relationship with them and you need to go back to them in 10 days for a different feature or for a different problem. And now that process is going to be getting very difficult for you. And you're going to be known as that one person in every office. There's always that one person in every office that's giving a hard time to everyone. And you're going to be that person. And that's going to be hard on you because you're not going to have a good work environment anymore. So you probably achieve result with one, but every upcoming problems is going to be an uphill battle for you. So again, pick your battles. One or two problems are worth fighting for in the hard negotiation way, but most of the time it ends up hurting you more than helping you. So think before you react when you're negotiating hard. The most loved negotiation type is principal negotiation. Hard negotiation always wins soft and principal always wins hard. Principal takes more time, it takes more energy, but it's well worth it at the end of the day because it meets all these three negotiation goals. All three of them are met. You end up going out happy. Both the parties who are at the negotiation table gets exactly what they wanted, focusing on the problem, and they walk out feeling happy. So every one of the need for the problem is met, which is why principal negotiation always wins. Principal negotiation. So there's five things that principal negotiation really runs by. Number one is focus on problem, not the people. If you have been doing product for a while or in your role today, you always focus on the problems. What exactly is the problem at hand? Don't focus on the person who is on the other side of the table. Yes, the person is important because they're human. They have emotions. They have values. Please do empathize. People like that a lot. Hear them out. But after you hear them out, come back to the problem. Don't focus too much on the person and then just say, oh, she's having such a hard time. Maybe I should let her win. No, don't do that. Come back. Okay, I hear you have a hard time today. Maybe I can help you. Let's come back to this problem that we were talking and let's see how I can help make things better. Or let's talk about the options we both have and figure out a good way to solve this problem. But the problem has to be the focus of your decision making or of your discussion in negotiation. That has to be the focal point. Don't focus on the person, focus on the problem. Person is in the mix all the time, but they don't have to win. They shouldn't be your top focus when you're making the conversation or decision. The next one is understand position versus interest. I think I meant to say understand interests versus positions. I'm sorry, that needs to be corrected. But what that really means is understand where this person is coming from, but also understand why they're asking for this. This question why is very, very important. Yes, you are looking at the problem on one angle, but they might be looking at the problem from a completely different angle than you have, and you probably never even thought of it, and that they might have a really good point that could change your opinion and the way you solve the problem. So always go with a blank slate and wanting to listen to the person and wanting to learn what they have to say, because their interests or why they're positioning themselves is very, very important. I'm not saying this because I'm pregnant, but I just happen to know this. Parenting 101, I guess. But there's a classic example of a story where a parent walks into a room and there's two kids fighting over an orange. And the parent just goes there, takes the orange and splits in half and gives it to the two kids and say, okay, problem solved, and walks away. But the parent like didn't pause to ask questions about why they're fighting or what they're fighting for and simply came in and solved the problem and left. But what the child really wanted is not half of an orange each of them, but they really wanted was one kid wanted the juice from the orange and another one wanted the peel of the orange. Now the parent ended up not giving neither of them what they needed. They just thought they solved the problem and left. That's really where the interest comes into the mix. And it's really important to be able to always understand the why and then kind of figure out how to solve the problem. Don't just go in with your own thinking that, okay, this is how I want to solve it. This is what I think. I know where you're coming from. I don't need to listen to you. No, that doesn't work at all. You have to pause. You have to ask questions. You have to position yourself in them, in their shoes and see how that works. Number three, generate options. I actually love this one a lot. I tell this a lot to my coworkers, my product managers, when they're having arguments or are challenged with a problem. I always tell them, don't be stuck to one solution or one option. Generate multiple options. I understand you've all had all this build up in your head because you're really smart. I appreciate it. But nobody else knows. You have option 1, 2, and 3. And you have it built in your head, the pros and cons for it. And you've already done the trade-offs in your head. And then you're like not sharing it with anyone. You said, you just think it to yourself and you say, okay, option one's the best because I already decided option one is the best. And you don't generate those options and discuss it with the other person. It's really important to share that options. What I personally like to do at work is generate options and don't make decisions. I make recommendations. So I generate option, so there's a problem to solve and I come up with all the different ways to solve that problem. So I generally stick to maximum 3, sometimes 5. I try not to go overboard. And then put it into an Excel spreadsheet or an email and share with this person with a list of the options, what are the pros and cons, what are the trade-offs. If you're in product, delivery is a big deal. And when I think this can be reasonably delivered, obviously with the input from a developer, I don't come up with those kind of stuff off the top of my head because I'm not the right person to do that call. And then I send that to them or have a meeting to talk about it. And then I make in brackets, hey, option 3 is my recommendation, but not my decision. I want this to be a collective conversation. And they appreciate that. They like that you've invested time. They like that you've done the job for them. And now they're just there to listen and have a conversation. So generating options lets the other person know, okay, I only thought about option 1. I didn't know about all the other options. I like that you've done that. Now let's talk about the others and see whether this is doable or not. For every problem, this doesn't obviously apply to every single problem. Some are more straightforward. But if you're dealing with like complex problem, especially in product, when you're talking to leadership and stuff, this always makes a big difference. I've never seen this way fail. Like nobody would ever call out that you've generated options and you're discussing about it. No one will call out that that's a problem. This direction always wins 100% of the time. Even if you don't bring it to leadership, just taking it to your manager or a couple of your coworkers and get a buy-in so you can collectively go and convince whoever you need to convince, that also works. You don't have to feel like you're fighting the battle alone. Generate option and then get people to support you. Has anyone tried this? Found success? Any stories to share? No? Okay. And then last and fourth one is use objective criteria. Be objective about the solutions that you're talking. Kind of set some goals. The classic one for this is you and the other person going in together. When you walk into the room, be very clear, hey, here's why we're meeting today. Here's the problem X. We're trying to solve it. Here are the challenges. Here's what we both want to get out of this meeting. When you set that criteria, throughout your conversation, you keep going back to that and make sure that both of you are agreeing to the same goals of what you want to achieve at the end of the meeting or that negotiation. One thing that keeps driving this conversation is data. Always go in with a lot of information, as much information as you have, and be objective about it when you're making that decision. I'm sure all of you have heard this term, you know, data-driven decisioning. This always comes into the mix. When you're making decisions, data always speaks for itself. You don't even have to argue. Just present people data and everyone will agree with what you're trying to drive, because data speaks louder than the words we're trying to use. Lastly, what happens if you just walk away? Why do we have to argue? Why do we have to negotiate? What if that negotiation fails? Does anyone feel strongly about having to win in every single negotiation? No, like the negotiation just ends up not working. You don't agree with the person. Sure, if you disagree with your sibling or your parent, you can walk away. Please don't do this at work. That's very bad optics. That will cost you your job. walk away means, you know, taking a step back and saying no, and being politically right, obviously, and do it right for the product. But what this really means is you don't always have to reach to an agreement in a negotiation. Always be ready to take a step back and say, you know what? Neither option works for me. There's a third option, which is, I don't need two of this. I don't need to be arguing with you. I think this is what is best for my product, and I can walk away. So one thing that I can share with this was, there was a company I was working for, and we had a large client that was trying to partner with us, and for some reasons, they were asking too much, and we couldn't deliver, and there was a lot of conversation going on, and we just couldn't come to an agreement on what to do next, or neither party could come to an agreement on what they're fighting for. And so our leadership in that company took a step back and said, you know what, we don't want this partnership. And that was huge. If we got that partnership, it would have boosted the company's revenue. We would have been like one of the top companies in the market that year. We would have been recognized. Hell, all of us would have gotten salary increase maybe. I don't know. But our leadership took a step back and said, we can't do this partnership because you know what? It's going to hurt our company. And we need to pull in more resources, pull in more time and money that we don't have right now. If we end up doing this relationship with you, it's going to end up hurting us more than helping us. And that's the other option. The option on the table is not always just what you're talking with this party. There's always a third option outside of that room, which is for you to walk away. And make sure you always figure out what is that alternative option. So that's called BATNA, best alternative to a negotiated argument. Before you walked into a negotiated argument, know that you always have that third option. And the third option might not be walk away all the time, but there might be an alternative option. And figure out what that alternate option is before you walk into the room, so that you always feel like you're not powerless, you're not crashing down or drowning in that meeting or conversation, but you have a power to say, can't do, gotta walk out, unfortunately. And that's okay. You don't always have to come to an agreement. And that's a really big piece. You have to learn to say no, you have to learn to say it's okay. And that sometimes works in great favor for you. It's not a bad thing. People sometimes feel like, can't say no. That's a bad thing. It's not right to say no, or don't even know how to say no. But practice makes perfect. You will definitely get there. Any thoughts to add for this? Questions? Okay. So now that we've spoken about negotiation types and all these ways to do negotiation, these things don't come like through a book. I mean, I obviously went through slides. I can't guarantee you when you walk into work on Monday, you'll be a negotiation pro. That's not how it works. It takes a lot of hard work. It takes a lot of time and energy. I would say from the time I realized how to negotiate, that I need to negotiate, it probably took me 3 years until I confidently say I can tackle any problem without feeling a fear, without feeling like I'm helpless. Not to say I'm a negotiation pro, because I often fail myself. But I at least know how to handle the situation by using the different techniques. And when I'm failing, I know what to do next or how to save myself in that process. So there are mistakes that you're going to make along the way, and you need to be able to recognize your mistakes. That's where the power of learning comes. You don't have to feel like, you know, I have to know everything on day one. I have to be a pro at day one. These are some common mistakes, and I will personally say that I've made every single one of these mistakes myself. failing to prepare, it's like a big one. You walk into the meeting, you're like, I came in with this option. I didn't bring data. I didn't bring my alternate BATNA option. I didn't consider my options. I don't have a goal. I'm just going to come in and I'm going to start seeing how this goes. Guess what? You don't have your arguments prepared, and that's not going to go well. They're going to put forth something really compelling out there that you probably might not have enough data or arguments to back up, and you would end up doing a soft negotiation there and not a principal negotiation. Not building relationships. She gave a classic example earlier. She's stuck in between because she hasn't built that relationship yet with one party, and she did with the other. And now she's experiencing trouble in convincing and negotiating. Building relationship. When people love you, even if you're giving crappy advice, they will listen to you. And they will try to convince you in a lovable way. They won't come hard at you. Even the CEO will want to be able to convince you. I've seen those things happening. That's really good relationship maintaining. Being afraid to offend. This is a common one, especially if you're very early in your career. You don't have enough experience. You would be like, how do I go tell that person? Or that person's my boss. That person's in like a director or VP level. I don't think I can say no. I don't think I can talk about my options or my values. Don't ever feel like you're going to be offensive to that person. If you feel so afraid about your idea or your thoughts or your arguments, share with a colleague you're comfortable with. Tell them, hey, here's this problem I'm running by. Here's the problem, or here's my recommendation. What do you think? Do you think I'm silly, or do you think I'm right? Run it by one or two persons. See what they think. That's why I call build a team. When you build a team, it really works because you have like four or five people supporting you, so you can take your problem forward. And five people against one sometimes works really well. Not listening, yeah, big one. If you don't know what their interests are and you're not listening, yeah, at the end of the day, that negotiation is not going to go well. It's a pretty straightforward one. Not knowing your BATNA, we just covered that. Caring too much. This is a sad one or a good one. You care too much about your product. You're too hung up to it. You just can't let that other option go. You just wouldn't let go, even though they're making compelling arguments. So sometimes care less is also good. Assuming something is non-negotiable. I often feel this when I'm having a difference of opinion with leadership, with an SVP or a director, and I'm like, well, I don't think I can go negotiate this. I don't know what's happening outside of the organization. They know better. I don't think I can put my opinion forth. Never feel that. If they're really good coworkers and leadership people, they will want to hear from you and they will correct you in the process. And that's learning. That helps you build your career too. Even if your negotiation didn't work, at least you got to build a network. You got to build a relationship and you know, understand the product better. Trying to win. Yeah, this one is the hard negotiation one. You just want to win. You don't care what the problem is. You don't care what the outcome is. You don't care who's going to get hurt. You just want to win. This might work for one problem, but it won't work every single time. And giving an ultimatum. Yep, I want what I want. Don't care what you do. These kinds of people often get let go, if you've noticed. So don't do that. But yeah, these are some of the mistakes that I've personally experienced. I've seen others do it, that I've recognized that that's not going to go well. Or these are people who also give me a hard time when I'm negotiating with them. So people who are on the other side of the table. But yeah, long story short, it's not a hard topic. It just takes time. You just have to recognize what you're doing and correct your mistakes along the way. Being able to recognize what you're doing is probably the biggest lesson here, so that you can cross-correct. Because you negotiate every day, it probably will only take you 3 months before you really learn to do negotiation well. But everyone is different. You probably will learn even sooner.
This podcast is made possible by Optimizely. To learn more about how you can get started with progressive delivery and experimentation, visit www.optimizely.com.
Thank you for listening to the Product Podcast. If you like this episode, don't forget to leave a review on iTunes. For more product insights, head over to productschool.com.